This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Well, hello, by the way, welcome to Pitch Talk. Olivia, are you looking at me because you know I'm going to enjoy that? I can see her smirk.
Last time we introduced the show, it was quite fun. So hello, everyone. Welcome to Pitch Talk on FUBAR Radio with Olivia Cox and Rachel Downey. You're tuned in with us for the next hour.
All right.
Do you have any more you want to say?
Wait, yeah, I do. Bonjour.
No, okay, she's drawing a blank. We've got lots from the world of sport and fitness. Yeah. We've got ex-rugby player Max Evans coming into the studio, and then we've got Ben Thoy, who is the managing director of Waybox.
It's going to be a very busy show. I get that feeling.
It is going to be a very busy show. I'm also really aware that I need to stay perfectly still because I keep going out of eye shot of the camera, which maybe isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, I know. I do find that when we look back at some of the footage, I'm like, oh my God, who's that? And it's always me looking appalling.
And then it's me swinging around in my chair because I can't sit still. So, sports headlines. Do you want to kick off?
I will. One thing, do tweet us. We had a few tweets before, didn't we?
Yeah, we had some tweets last week.
And I like the effort. I like effort. I'm all for effort.
We will reply.
Yes, and we do. You know, we kind of, you know, sometimes need to fill and it helps us a lot. So do tweet
us. Rachel occasionally does run out of things to say.
I know, right?
It's rare, but...
It's true. At FUBAR Radio, tweet us. It'd be lovely to hear from you. All right. So the sports headlines. I should be on a 1980s Saturday evening.
I was just thinking.
The Price is Right kind of thing. Oh, Brucey. I used to love Brucey. I used to love Cilla Black. I do apologise. We
this
will
has
go
got
back to the
nothing
show.
Nothing to do with sport.
But I could make it sporty. We're going to start with boxing. And American Deontay Wilder has agreed to fight Anthony Joshua in the UK. Now, Anthony Wilder, this is something, again, lots of rumours going on at the moment. But the heavyweight matchup is scheduled to take place in either September or October. Reports in the US last night claimed that Shelley Finkel, which is Wilder's manager, has officially agreed to a two-match deal with the second bout in the US. He posted the £37 million offer for him to fight me in the US is still available. That's what the champ Wilder has said about Anthony Joshua. Loads has been going on about this, actually. It's been spoken about for a while. So many people wanting to fight Joshua. And then people kind of say, oh, no, but I haven't had the contract yet. I haven't had this, I haven't had that. It's a good amount of money, good fight, good to see. We need to see Anthony Joshua to see really what he's made of, I think.
Yeah, I think he needs to put a lot of haters to bed.
I like that
expression. I mean, especially if it was in the UK, that would be really exciting on our home soil. I think it would be a real disappointment if Joshua lost. But, yeah. I'd watch.
Yeah, I'd watch. We've got one viewer.
Yeah, good.
That would be good. One
Sky's
viewer.
Sky's pay-per-view suddenly plummets. Yeah, good. Thanks for that.
Yeah, anytime.
In cycling, cyclist Molly Weaver has spoken out about mental health in sport, criticising the lack of support for athletes as a fundamental problem in the industry. Now, this is a 24-year-old woman, a Brit, who sustained a broken neck and a broken back, along with a host of other injuries, actually, when she was hit by a car during an informal ride near her home. Now, she came back. She actually made a really, really impressive recovery. And she came back in cycling and tried to compete, but then said that she was sucked down by this extreme depression that actually sapped all her love out of cycling. So she actually blames mental health for ruining her career. And it's just really interesting, I think, that someone is talking about it and sort of shining a light on what really is a problem.
I think there's a huge, I was just going to use the word there, fundamental problem, with support for athletes, full stop. Yes, the mental health support, but also we've had Gail Emms. We've chatted to Gail Emms a few times on the phone, and she's very publicly a Olympic badminton winner for our country. Has spoken about the fact that there is just no support. There's nothing for you. And this is, I guess, the other side of it. When you come out of a sport, what is there? Who are you?
Unless you've sort of made... I mean, we can ask... We've got Max Evans later on in the show, who is, of course, an ex-rugby player. But unless... The feeling is, unless you've really made a name for yourself, probably off the pitch, off the field, off the court, as much as on it... You don't really get those sponsorship deals. You don't get the punditry.
So
you have to be a character.
And if all you know is that. So you maybe don't have certain other qualifications and you don't know. Yeah, if that's all you know, you're in your 30s. You haven't done any other job. What do you do? And I guess as well, the other side of it, you see a lot of the mental health, say within football, a lot of footballers have spoken out about the fact that when their career comes to an end, it's that just nothing. Mm. You know, that adrenaline, that I guess what defined you has gone.
And all the structure.
Yeah, oh, very true, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking, we will play a clip from a great interview with Finlay Pretzel in a few weeks, because he's got a cool new film coming out about cycling. And we were speaking to him about what happens after cycling and him working as a film director in conjunction with a really great cyclist. And he was saying that it was very difficult to get the cyclist to sort of adapt to the leniency of the creative world and saying, you know, we don't have a structure, we'll just turn up here and see what happens. And for an athlete who's used to goals and structure and meal times, that must
be really hard. Yes. I mean, we saw an insight when we went to the Rugby Sevens, you know, and their days are very, very structured. The fact that even little things, I think we take for granted that we can go out and socialise whenever we want. We can go do this, we can do that. They can't.
No.
Because it's their job. And when you've been, I guess it's institutionalised for so long, what do you do? It must be, yeah, it must be hard actually when you do leave your
what do you do when you can no longer wander down to the coffee room for some peanuts wearing only your socks? I mean, that's
tricky. Do you know what, Olivia? It's true.
Tough.
I mean,
I feel for them.
My heart bleeds. Bleed.
Okay, let's move on to tennis. And seven-time Grand Slam singles champion John McEnroe has claimed that beating Rafa Nadal over five sets on clay is the toughest thing in sport. And this is after the Spaniard beat Austrian Dominic Thiem in straight sets to claim his record, not breaking, because he already had the record himself, but record extending 11th French Open title.
So can I just take you back, Olivia, a couple of weeks?
Oh, I know what you're going to do here.
In Rafa Nadal and, oh, I don't think Rachel's going to do it. Don't think so. Really? Just take a moment.
I think take a moment.
Savour it. Savour it.
I was playing devil's
wallow
advocate.
Wallow in it.
Shut up. You know what? I wondered why you're making those squeaking noises. I could, out the corner of my eye, luckily no one else can see this, Rachel was doing a sort of happy dance in her chair. She's doing it again.
So I love
really
a happy dance.
Really creepy. There's a bit of a side eye in there too. It's great, actually. Nadal did win. It was actually a really exciting. I started watching it and genuinely. I did watch it,
then
but
I left
at the beginning. I genuinely thought Thiem might be a real strong contender, but in the end, Nadal did pull out straight sets, which was a shame because the first few games. I mean, Dominic Thiem broke Nadal's serve, I think, in like the second game or something. I mean, it was incredible. He looked so, so strong. But Nadal just has that longevity, that stamina, and he just keeps on going. And I think he just drives his competitors into the ground.
He has, exactly. And like you said, he's got the experience. I mean, age will eventually be the better of him. He has said that he didn't really think he was going to come back and keep on winning.
No.
And it does, you know. And you've got these, like you said with Thiem, great kind of players coming through. So it's only a matter of time. Mm. Sticking very quickly with tennis too, before we talk about
Can I just say something else about Rafa? Because I think it's a nice fact.
Of course you can, babe. Go.
And then you can go. He's a left-handed player.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that. Apparently everyone else did. Apparently that's one of the reasons he might be so successful. For his methods.
Yeah,
for
I was going to say, because if I pick up a racket in my left hand...
That's not like a magic wand here.
Can you imagine if literally that is the key to playing tennis?
Yeah, we'd all be
all
like,
this time,
oh my God.
I didn't realise I could have been a genius.
Or a tennis player.
Within, yes.
Yeah, sorry, carry on. Do carry on. I apologise.
It's in the press today. Roger Federer has confirmed his Nike deal has expired. Amid rumours, the Swiss star is about to sign a £22 million a year Uniqlo tie-up ahead of Wimbledon.
Wow. Okay, so harping back to what we were just saying about what does an athlete do when they stop, I feel like they might go fishing, maybe on a cruise, not do very much.
Bahamas.
22 million?
A year.
What the hell?
I'd take a
very small percentage of that. Actually, no. Let's go for the big guns. In F1, team boss Toto Wolff has described the Canadian Grand Prix as a wake-up call for Mercedes after Lewis Hamilton grossly underperformed, actually. Critics have slated the round as more boring than Monaco as well. So all in all, it wasn't a great Grand Prix weekend. And actually, Vettel seems to have taken it rather personally. I do love his comment. He reminded the press at a press conference that not all World Cup games will be as exciting as each other either. So a little bit of a two fingers up to the footballers after Vettel took his 50th win and, of course, just snuck past Lewis Hamilton to lead the 2018 championship in Montreal. So that's
exciting.
That's really why Lewis, he will be coming under a lot of flack from his team boss because... Yep. He was really expected, I think, to do an awful lot better given his performance previously on that circuit.
It's going to be very interesting to see now. And this, again, it's good. We're seeing some good racing now. And it's more exciting.
Monaco was, I wouldn't call
it
good racing.
No, I mean, Monaco, chat about lots of the boring, the most boring. But that's what we all expected. Mm. That's the thing. But at least it's not a foregone conclusion this year. What do you think about what Winnie Harlow did, her premature deployment of the checkered flag?
Oh, see, it's not her fault. She was handed the flag too early. And there is I was doing a little bit of research. There is some precedence here. A few years ago, a couple of times, actually, it's been done wrongly. And the trouble is that because it is so rare that this happens, that there's not really that huge amount of regulation. And really, it wasn't fair that Daniel Ricciardo ended up getting denied the fastest lap. It instead went to his teammate, Max Verstappen. And I really wish right now that this was TV because we could play out the clip. Because poor Daniel, it is pretty hilarious. The Sky Sports reporter goes to say that Max Verstappen has got fastest lap, and Daniel turns around and goes, "It went to me, bro."
Actually, you've got to love it.
Aussie's reaction was just absolutely priceless when it was confirmed. That was a little bit of a shame. There's not much you can do. It happened. It happened at the Chinese Grand Prix in 2014. And in fact, at the Brazilian Grand Prix in 2002, football star Pelé forgot to wave the flag altogether. So at least the flag was waved.
But then you can be a bit like, you know what, it's Pelé. I'm going to let this one go. That's what I would do. We've got to be quite quick. So shall we chat and cover your favourite subject right now, football?
Yes,
let's go crazy. On your face right now.
Yes.
Former England goalkeeper Robert Green has claimed manager Fabio Capello ordered players to be weighed every day during their 2010 World Cup campaign. Green says, "We got weighed every day and got told we were too fat." Surely, though, that's absolutely fair enough.
Really?
You get weighed every day. You've got to make sure that you're in perfect shape.
Yeah, but if you're being told you're too fat... If the shoe was on the other foot and this was a female team...
I'm at ballet school all the time.
Yeah, but would you say that's right?
I was a dancer. Have I not mentioned this? I used to dance.
I think this is another debate for another time. Move on.
I think it's good. Yeah, I don't have. Yeah, I really do.
I'd be devastated if someone told me I was too fat.
Yeah, but this is a good old debate.
Next week, when we start
our World Cup show.
Yes, good.
Good link, Rach. England should make a political stand against Russia by wearing black armbands during the World Cup, says Labour MP Stephen Kinnock. Any kind of stand by England would be in contravention of FIFA's rules against players wearing political, religious or commercial symbols and would be considered a major escalation on the FA's decision to display the poppy on armbands in 2016, a battle they ultimately and should have... shouldn't even have been a battle. They ultimately won. I don't know what to expect with England going out into Russia, to be honest.
I don't think it's a wise move for Stephen Kinnock to be saying this.
It's a lot deeper than that as well. And my fear, and I know...
poppies are a sign of respect. A black band is a sign of criticism of Russia. And it's just not... It's not our place right now to be doing that, I don't think.
I've heard very different things. And I'll let this be our last story, actually. I've heard many different things. And do you know what? If there is any racism against the players, I've read that, you know, that there's been suggestions maybe that the England team just walk off the pitch. I'm kind of a little part of me is all for that. It really, really, yeah. I just don't. I feel for the players that have spoken up, like Danny Rose, about the fear to this. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. out there in Russia. And obviously, we are going to be talking a lot more about the World Cup, because we have our World Cup show, World Cup edition, we mentioned, didn't we? Starting from next week.
Yeah, we're going to have... We've got some seriously fun guests in next week. I'm really excited. I won't give the game away. Do tune in next week, Tuesday, 4 till 5, for the World Cup edition of Pitch Talk. And we'll have all the best, funniest stories. Rachel and I are currently constructing our own fantasy football teams, and we will be getting involved on the social to find out what you guys are looking forward to over the World Cup too.
And I'm very excited about the doing the fantasy football team, but I do have this feeling, and I'm going to take it very, very seriously, I've said this, but I do have this feeling that you're probably going to do really well. I mean, you even said you'll have one player. I thought, oh, Olivia, where do we start with this?
Well, I was going to put all my money on Ronaldo, but apparently you're not allowed.
One man is not a team.
This is the exact thought I had when I was asked to participate in the sweepstake earlier. I thought, of course I'm going to win because I'm the one who knows nothing about football. And then I pulled out a country I've never, ever, literally never even heard of. So, yeah, I'm not going to win that. But... we will be bringing you lots
you will win
of coverage here on Pitch Talk, including some of our favourite World Cup songs. So to get us in the mood, we're starting this week with Wave a Flag by Kanaan.
There we go. We're getting ready for our World Cup show starting next Tuesday from 4 p.m. Very excited about that. And we've got a guest in the studio now. Welcome to Max Evans. Welcome to the show. Wait, I want a round of applause. I've got the applause button. Welcome to the show, Max Evans.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in, Max. You're looking ever so tanned.
Yeah, I've been very lucky and been away in the sun for a little bit. I was away in Greece last week playing in a golf tournament. So, caught a bit of sunshine.
Well, before we go any further, we've just had our World Cup song then. Are you a football man? Do you like football?
I do like football, although I sadly, like my dad... was a Man United supporter.
So when I was
a kid and you're picking your team and whatever, you normally pick the team that your dad supported. It was when Man United were winning everything. So I said, oh, well, I'll support Man United. And all my mates were like, glory supporter. So I was kind of like, oh, well, okay, I won't support anyone. And then I went up to Scotland to play rugby, and there's obviously a huge rivalry between mm-hmm. Celtic and Rangers. And I didn't want to be on, you know, I just didn't want to get involved in it. So the ground we played at for the Warriors when I first was there was Partick Thistle's ground, Fir Hill. So I was just like, I'm just going to be Partick Thistle's supporter, and then you kind of stay out of trouble.
Yeah, it's true, actually. So
is that going well for you?
Yeah.
Your support?
I don't know. I actually just say, like, I like watching the international games, and I'm...
You're just a fickle fair-weather supporter.
Yeah.
Just like me. Well, I have to say, my dad supported Crystal Palace because that was the first game he saw or something. He has no clue about football. Sorry, Dad. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's difficult to support someone else.
Although now my girlfriend's family are all... My girlfriend's Scottish, and her family are big Celtic fans. So I'm kind
of... have to.
Well, it's lucky that you didn't say on the radio that you don't support Celtic then.
Yeah. Come on the hoops.
Yeah. But you have to support them, you do.
Max, talking more about rugby, less about football.
Right.
44 caps for Scotland.
Yeah.
What was it like playing for your country?
Honestly, it was, a childhood dream for any aspiring rugby professional. You want to play for your country. Getting my first cap was... never been so petrified. Luckily, I was on the bench.
You came on for your brother, didn't you?
No. That was when he got injured.
Okay.
But my first cap, I was on the bench. It was against Canada. And in a way, being on the bench, it's either more nerve-wracking or less nerve-wracking because you have a bit of time to see the game unfold, but you also have more time to like think about what's potentially coming. Brilliant feeling to get my first cap and then to go on and get 44 caps and experience, you know, maybe a little bit more lows than highs, but those highs just will stay with me the rest of my life. So, really special feeling.
I like the fact we've got here that you guys were the 20th set of brothers to play rugby for Scotland. I like that. It's just like not the first, not the second.
I know.
You're the 20th.
The 20th, yeah.
So I wonder how that compares to other countries. You know, is Scotland particularly sibling heavy?
I'd be very interested to know that because it's been a bit of a like private joke going on because whenever you come across people that don't know a huge amount about rugby or even people that know about rugby but don't know about international rugby and playing with maybe your brother, when they find out I played rugby with my brother, they're like, oh my God, that's amazing, that's so cool, that must be pretty special, not many people must have done that before. And I was like, I was the 20th set of brothers. And actually, since Tom and I have played together for Scotland, there's been a few sets of brothers that have played after us. So, but I would be very interested.
I'll do my best to find out.
Yeah.
Was it very competitive between the two of you?
Very competitive, yeah. We would compete over everything, you know, have a lot of fights until we got to the age where we realized we'd probably do each other quite a lot of damage. We stopped physically fighting, but we're still competitive in all areas. You know, even we used to fight about who was in charge of the remote control and things
that.
But I think it drove us both to be better at kind of everything, you know, especially we played all sports. Our mum and dad were both sporty and they kept us out of the house the whole time. We were either playing tennis or messing around. Like my dad's a golf professional, so we were on the golf course and stuff. And it was great it's just us two as brothers. It was great having someone to always compete against. And I think, like I said, it just drove us to hone our skills in order to beat each other. But, you know, ultimately making us better at whatever we were doing as well.
You mentioned golf there. You were a professional golfer in Portugal. First of all, first love, would you say it's golf or rugby?
I'm more of a I'm more of a team man. Like anyone, you know, my dad knows this. My dad's actually the reason I went back to rugby after having my spell in Portugal playing golf, because he knows, he's the first one to admit that I'm more of a team man. Like I thrive off like the energy of my teammates and almost leading by example and encouraging others and stuff like that. And golf is completely the opposite. Yeah. You're by yourself. It's kind of, you know, the tournament scene of playing golf is, if you've got a good caddy, he's kind of like your best mate, because it's a bit of a lonely, you know, you're kind
it's
of
very
on the,
isolated.
Yeah, you're on the, and I'm not as much of a big fan of that side, but when it comes to golf, like I love having a game of golf with my mates, you know, like a four ball, having banter with each other. That's where I love golf. So it's a tough one. I think rugby is, if you gave me a choice, right, what are you going to play tomorrow to, yeah, like...
Gun to your head right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be rugby,
ooh,
yeah.
Savage. Well, we were talking a little bit earlier about what happens to sports people and athletes when they stop playing professional sports. How did you find that transition, stopping being part of that huge team? And presumably in rugby, there is an awful lot of camaraderie and banter.
Oh, huge amount. Yeah, it's 24... You know, it's on a daily basis. It's... I finished playing rugby because of an injury, so it wasn't my decision to finish, which for some people is always difficult. The only fortune I had was that I was towards the end of my career, and so I kind of considered myself lucky that I'd achieved so much already, and I probably hadn't got that much longer left in me anyway. I definitely instantly missed, just I missed the regimented schedule on a daily basis. You know what time you have to be up, and you know what time, you know, you're getting your training. It, like, I like training, but I also, you know, if you've got the choice of like, oh, you know, a cup of tea and some biscuits, or head off to the gym, like you could just have a little bit of extra time at home or whatever, I tend to sway to that part. Whereas if you know that you're going to need to be at the gym, otherwise you're potentially going to be in trouble or get fined from a rugby team perspective, you're going to obviously go there. But so yeah, it's been a bit tough missing the banter and stuff like that. And I luckily I was kind of just enjoying some time off from rugby, and then I was thinking, right, I better start get cracking and doing something now, holidays over. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Dancing on Ice came along.
I love this.
So I was like, so then I kind of threw myself into that. So actually it's up to this point, it's been kind of a bit of an enjoyable transition. But I'm now, you know, Dancing on Ice is finished now, and now back to where I was before, which is like, right, I've got to get something going, you know, for the next chapter of my life.
Well, what was Dancing on Ice like? Have you danced before or on ice?
My brother and I have... I've been blessed with a little bit of rhythm, I think, from our mum and dad. Oh, they always used to...
I do like that. It's very... Well, yeah, yes, I can dance very well.
No, but some people...
It's a very humble way of saying it.
Some people, and, you know, I've seen it firsthand, some people aren't blessed with, like, a natural rhythm.
Especially as a rugby player, as a rugby freak, and I do love rugby, I did watch one of the Lions tours, and there was this brilliant clip of Martin Johnson, and I think it's Lawrence Dallaglio and Neil Black, and they're having to shake these maracas and do this little dancing at the same time.
Like dad
and they're
dancing.
Going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, bananas. And it is hilarious. Yeah. So you're better than that, are you?
Yeah. Like, I can find a beat. Is what I'm trying
work,
to say.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, and my brother and I have always had that, but when you put that onto ice skates and being on ice, like I'd never ice skated before. I probably went once as a kid with my brother around Christmas time. And I think, actually, no, I do remember going with him because we had a race from one end of the ice rink to the other.
You are competitive, aren't you?
And I did what I can to try and ice skate, or what I thought was ice skating, and he just like ran on the ice and he actually picked up so much speed running, whereas I was behind, that he didn't know then how to stop and just fell over and crashed into the end. He won the race but injured himself in the process. But yeah, I'd never skated, so getting into it was
classic Evans Brothers.
Learning that
it came along totally out of the blue. And you know, when I thought about it, I thought from a sportsman's perspective, you know, to learn a new skill would be really cool. You know, like to add, you know, another skill and almost have one up on my brother, I guess, or anyone else. Like there you go. So that was kind of my incentive.
So what you're trying to say is you learnt to dance on ice to get one up on Tom Evans.
Well, he did Strictly. So we've always been on the same level we've always been on the same level dancing capabilities, right? And then he did Strictly, and that just took him into new stratosphere. And the annoying thing is with being on Strictly and learning all the different types of dance, it's like you can show that off on a regular basis, like if you're in a club or anything. Like he just picks up, you know, like a lady or a mature lady and takes her for a little waltz or like a tango.
So can I just ask,
whereas I can't exactly say, hey, anyone want to go down to the ice rink? Get your skates. Get your skates on, let's go. Who's
so
got skates
on? You've got a very niche window of opportunity to show off your skills, is what you're trying to say.
There you go. But so then come Christmas time,
you're going to be cleaning up.
I'd be like, oh, is this what we're doing on the ice rink?
Awkward.
Okay, there you go.
Then you show off in front of everyone. What were the live tours like?
Live tours were brilliant, yeah. I much preferred the live tours to the live show because a lot more less stress. The live shows, you've got only really 3 days to put together a routine that you then are knowing you're going to perform live in front of millions of people.
See the fear in your eyes
Whereas the tour, you do the bit of practice in the beginning, you get your routines down, and then you're literally just hammering those out, and you're performing it in front of people. You can really feel the support of the show on the tour with the amount of people that come, and it's a real opportunity to thank them, like, personally, you know. So I get to perform in some really cool arenas and places around the country, you know, like performing in Wembley Arena and then in the town that I, you know, in my kind of home city, Glasgow, where I played for 5 years rugby, to perform in the Hydro, and you know, all the backstage on the walls, you've got all these huge artists that have performed there as well. It's pretty cool to kind of be involved and feel that, you know. So
did that have sort of reminiscence of going back to your rugby playing days then?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, even during the live shows, to a certain extent, like that kind
the
of
adrenaline that rush, I guess.
Well, that I was going to say, that kind of team environment, because even though we were competing against each other, like the celebrities and the pros, you know, ice skating is such a dangerous sport, and in the blink of an eye, it can go horribly wrong. So you're actually supporting each other and wanting everyone to do well. So I did get a bit of that team environment. And also, I didn't expect to be so needed from the point of view, like a lot of the guys who hadn't been involved in sport were picking up these kind of niggling injuries and stuff. Now, anyone that knows a lot about injuries is rugby players. So I had all these like little tips for everyone else on how to, you know, maintain, you know, like stop and prevent injuries, but also help treat injuries and things like that, little niggles and whatever. But it was just a really, really cool experience. Yeah. Dr. Evans.
Sorry. You popped everyone's blisters.
Yeah. Well done. Good way to make friends.
Yeah.
I'll help you.
No. But like, for example, Lamar was one of my like really close boys on the show. Well, I got on with everyone really well, but Lamar really struggled. It was so impressive how well he did, because a lot of people didn't know how much he was struggling with niggling shoulder injury, groin injury. And it was so funny, like backstage I'd always be showing him these, you know, like I've got a hockey ball. No one realizes how great a hockey ball is to release to trigger a lot of tension in your body. And I was getting him on the floor like triggering himself out with a hockey. Just a hard hockey ball. You can get it into your hips, into little parts of your back and shoulders and everything.
You're one of those people. I'll help you.
There you go. I am a foam roller, but no one seems to have the same. I've got the best foam roller.
Do you have one with the spiky bits?
There, it's even better than the spiky bits. It's like,
stop it.
It's kind of like
an undulating foam roller.
So it can actually get into, you know, when you like roll it on your back and it cracks your back.
Mm-hmm. So like it can go in between your shoulder blades.
No, this goes either side of your spine. So you roll down. So actually, it just releases the muscles either side of your spine. It doesn't crack, because too much cracking isn't great for you. And
how much cracking is too much cracking?
I don't actually know the science behind it. I've been told by numerous chiros that I've seen that chiropractors that too much cracking isn't good for you. So.
Okay, words to live by. That's fair enough.
Now, you plan. I love how I'm like, yeah. I don't even use the foam thing. Are they literally just for your back?
No. All the parts. Like I used to get a lot of. You've got your ITB band on the outside of your legs, and mine used to get really tight. and I used to roll that out a lot with the foam roller because it can like affect your knees
now
a bit.
Now I know what they do.
Everything's linked, right? Everything's linked.
If you've got a bit of a sore ankle or whatever, you've been on your heels too much, you roll out your calves, things like that.
Okay.
You know?
Learn a new thing every day.
Yeah, definitely.
Sick note here. sick note. You plan to run a fitness company with your brother. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, we both still love our fitness and love keeping fit, and we seem to get, you know, whenever we post anything on our respective social media platforms of us together, it always gets a much bigger spike than if it's just us. So I think people like the idea of family and doing things with your family and stuff. So yeah, we'd love to. We're not sure exactly which, you know, whether it's going to be fitness retreats. Our mum and dad live in Portugal. As I said, my dad's a golf pro and a golf director out there, and it'd be a huge opportunity to do a really good, like, kind of fitness wellness type experience out there, or maybe even do like kids kind of summer camps that's all based around sport and fitness, or do. Like, I really like the idea of HIIT training at the moment. It's kind of, you've heard of HIIT training,
yeah.
High intensity.
That one I have heard of.
high intensity interval training. I've got all the names for, I've taken the name HIIT Brothers. It's, you know, in my eyes, it's kind of catchy. Like, maybe be like HIIT trainers or do HIIT sessions, stuff like that. So there's kind
like
of
HIIT
some.
Like HIIT Man type thing.
Like, oh, is there a guy called HIIT Man, is there?
Isn't there?
There must be.
I think you were just calling him a hitman. I mean, that's what I heard. I don't know if you guys heard
hitman,
that.
Well, we'll have to get the hitman against the Hit Brothers. But
there you go.
We'll put that on the shelf for later.
Yeah.
These are just kind of, in some capacity, we're going to be involved in the fitness industry. And at the moment, we'll just figure out which one to go for fully, and then we'll go for it.
Fantastic. Well, that does segue very nicely into our next guest, who is, of course, Ben Thoy, Managing Director of Protein Box. Max, what's
Waybox,
your view? Waybox. You're right, it's Waybox.
I just spoke to him, he's a lovely lad.
I was
going to
say, what's your view on supplementing and protein?
Yeah, you know, for a lot of people, I try and eat as much as I can, like, natural stuff, but I realise for a lot of people it's difficult to get the amount of, for example, protein that you need in order to put on mass on a daily basis. So supplements are definitely needed, and you know, I was just speaking to Ben backstage, and his product sounds brilliant. You know, the fact that it's in sachets, and because it can be a bit of a pain, you know, you get these huge tubs of protein,
yeah,
you have to like
saying,
fill
yeah.
them in and whatever. It'd be so much easier if you had it
decanting
in
into plastic bags and leaving trails of
and also
protein.
and also that I always find the longer you leave your like protein drink in its container or whatever, the more it smells afterwards.
Oh, yeah,
even when you
awful.
Whereas if you've got a little sachet, like I'd never heard of Waybox and stuff, and I'm really interested to I think it's brilliant. So yeah, I'm all for supplements.
Cool.
And,
well,
done our job for us.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thanks,
I'll
Max.
Go.
No, he'll have all the proper stuff info about it. There you go.
Of course he will.
Brilliant. We could have gone early. Can't have it. Well, yeah, thank you so much for
pleasure.
Joining us
Thanks,
today.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks for having me.
We are going to take a little breather. We shall see you very shortly with Ben Thoy.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
I'm very excited to have Rams in the building with me. I just want to double check if your ting has stopped calling you at 7 a.m. because that is horrible.
No, I'll speak to him, say a couple of different girls at around the 7 o'clock time.
All right, okay, so it's a thing that you like to do. 7 a.m. is your sort of witching hour, is it?
Early calls are the best.
So tell me, where are these other girls from?
They're from different areas in London. Some cross country.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one or two.
In maybe America?
I would say, no, I can't say that. I was about to say it.
Okay, well, I'm from Walthamstow, so if you've not got any there, I'm free. If you're up for it, no? Okay, next time maybe.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back. This is Pitch Talk on FUBAR Radio. That was Max Evans. I'm Rachel Downey. Olivia Cox, are you enjoying the show thus far?
I'm loving the show. I just had to have a little rearrange of my seating.
I've had to have a rearrange of my seating.
Have you? I don't know what I did. I must have stood up really enthusiastically to say goodbye to Max. And my chair all spun out of whack. But we've got a really exciting new guest in the studio. We have swapped one boy out for another boy in, and we've got Ben Thoy of Waybox.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Wait, I'm giving you a round of applause. Do it again,
yeah,
Olivia.
Yeah, please, can I have that, yeah.
We've got Ben Thoy of Waybox. Rachel, is it working?
Oh, no.
Hey!
I'm absolutely gutted. You used to put the applause on Max, which is fair enough.
That's really, that's bit of a letdown. There we go. Ben Thoy of Waybox.
There we go.
It was worth it, right?
Yeah,
it was worth it.
Ben, thank you so much for coming in. So Ben and I met at the Balance Festival at the Truman Brewery. Ah. And I'd gone in for a quick little whip around to see who was cool and new because there were so many.
And you saw no one.
Yeah. And I was about to leave.
On the way out.
I actually was on the way out when I saw you guys. But there are so many protein brands out there. What makes yours different?
So we are single serving sachet only. So when people think of protein, they think big tubs, pouches, quite aggressive. Masculine branding. Yeah. So we wanted to make it more convenient, more accessible and more engaging. Hence the reason the brand is quite soft and a little bit girly almost. And also the reason we don't do any big tubs or pouches. So it's all convenience driven with a view to sort of bringing more people into the industry.
And it's all designed, am I right in thinking that it's a subscription service?
So yeah, we started as a subscription service, very sort of Graysbox-esque. But then the shape of the business changed quite a lot. Mm. We were approached by a number of major retailers. So we're stocked in the likes of Holland & Barrett, Tesco, Asda, Boots. We've got a couple more retail launches coming up. So yeah, it's kind of, it's part online, part retail as well.
Awesome. And is that a kind of you buy a sachet at a time or do you buy a box of sachets?
Yeah, so you in a retailer you would buy a sachet, but in Tesco you can actually get an assorted box as well.
So, in theory, yep. I could finish my workout, be horribly unprepared, waltz into one of the shops and just buy a sachet and stick it in my water
bottle. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really simple concept. Yeah, because
right.
Most people typically would have just had to be scooping it out of tubs into Tupperware, taking it around with them
you
or whatever.
You have no
so.
Idea the lengths I've gone to try and transport protein.
Do it here as well.
Yeah, it's painful to watch, isn't it?
Really is.
Thank you for finally
you're welcome.
Coming to my
you're
rescue.
Welcome. Well, you are exactly you are a demographic then. If that's what you've been doing,
I am
then
your key target
kind of here for you.
Yes, you are. Now, for the layman, out there,
sick note.
For sick note here, protein powders. Why do we need them? Is it only for people that want to bulk up?
Yeah, so that's a common misconception. So protein is an essential macronutrient. Your body needs it in the same way it needs carbohydrates and fat. So it's like a building block of the body, so muscle growth and repair, but it also contributes to healthy skin, hair, nails, that sort of thing. So as a supplement, you don't need it. It is a supplement. It's there for when it's convenient or when you need it. But as I think Max alluded to, like, you know, real food first, that should always be a focus. You shouldn't rely on it. It should be there for when you just kind of... when you're short of time or whatever.
And Livia, when you take your protein powders, is it like when you've just missed a meal or again, is it just to...
I don't take them as a missed meal. I think there has been a gap in the market because obviously there are the big hulking men on the tubs with loads of muscles. And then there was the lean version or the diet version or the Weight Watchers version that basically encouraged us to use it as a meal replacement, which I don't agree with.
Yeah.
I still think eat your food, but... When I am watching my macros, and I've bored Rachel to tears about watching my macros,
loved.
I really struggle to get enough protein in because it's not like you can carry around a chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
And having something it can be quite expensive to really hit those margins. If you go into M&S and try and buy a packet of salmon or something to snack on, you're going to be spending a fiver. So I use it to supplement when I can't be at home and cook something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, for me personally, like, a smoothie in the morning is just the quickest way to get some decent nutrients in, because who can be bothered to make an omelette at like 6 o'clock or whatever? So just to shove a sachet of protein in with some fruit and peanut butter and coconut milk or whatever. Yeah, it's super easy.
Now I'm hungry.
Just give me a couple of good ideas.
Your proteins, though, come in lots of weird and wonderful and cool, unusual flavours.
Yeah, one of the other things we wanted to do to differentiate ourselves was not just have your standard strawberry, vanilla, chocolate. So we've got 10 flavors of whey protein, kind of the more obscure flavors, gingerbread, you don't get many toffee flavors out there, coconut. And then, well, that's our whey protein. So obviously we launched with Waybox, dairy based, and then we were like, shit, like, we need to do something for vegans.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do? So we've brought out the No Way box, which
I love
is...
That's, I mean, marvellous.
That's
work
clever,
there.
Like, marvellous. Way and No Way. Well, obviously, but you know,
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Thanks,
so, yeah, five flavours of vegan protein.
I'm very proud.
And we've got a bit more obscure with those as well, so we've got salted caramel, blueberry, gingerbread again in that one, so...
Ooh.
I've actually left some out there for you.
Oh, my hero. So I was writing a blog piece the other day, and one of the questions that someone kept asking me was, what is the solution if you don't like sweet stuff? Is it possible to have a savoury protein shake?
Yeah, so if you really don't like sweet stuff, you probably want to get like an unflavoured whey protein one of the larger supplement brands out there. And
would that ever be on the cards for you, or are you very much flavoured?
No.
I have to say, I did once try an unflavoured protein powder.
Is it claggy?
Not
I imagine it tasting claggy.
It was a struggle to drink. Whereas these I drink as a treat as well. I actively look forward
to I'm like that, yeah.
You know, it's a bit like we were talking to another protein brand, last week, and I was saying that sometimes I've wondered if I could mix hot water with my chocolate protein to substitute for my nightly hot chocolate.
Yeah, have you not tried that?
Not
so
yet.
Yeah, so we've got a chocolate mint flavour and a chocolate orange as well, which if you heat up with kind of almond milk, it's literally just like hot chocolate on an evening. You can do the same with lattes as well, so you could just pour a shot of espresso in and make like a vanilla protein latte, which is pretty tasty.
Guess what I'm doing
tonight?
It's a whole
new world.
I know, yeah.
You're in for a wild time as well.
I'm having a lot of chocolate.
What was it like being rated number 3 for the 10 best protein powders to whip you into shape in 2018 by The Telegraph?
That was really good. So obviously these little PR things come around every now and then, and as a small business you don't really expect it. And they obviously judged a lot of brands, so yeah, we were really pleased with that. It's not something, you know, we weren't like popping champagne or anything like that.
Woo-hoo, but we won!
But at the end of the day, is nice recognition, because the Telegraph is, you know, such a big news outlet. So for us to just see our name in there with some of the, you know, really, really big monsters in the company, in the industry, it was really, really pleasing.
And there's been a lot of chat. I think we're both about to ask a question. You know, when you hear the intake of breath. There's been a lot of chat about whether this ideal window after working out is half an hour or 2 hours, or whether there isn't
45 minutes, I was told the other day.
How quickly after working out do you believe we should be eating protein and carbs?
I'm going to give you a really crappy answer, because I'm
not... Are you going to say it's based on the individual?
I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't know the ins and outs, but kind of the research generally says it doesn't matter too much. But within, I think, 2 hours. I think half an hour is a little bit.
That was the research. When I did my nutrition course, they said to us that actually everything we thought we knew, this was a couple of years ago, we all believed strongly you've got a half an hour ideal window. After that point, you might as well not bother. Mm. So people were leaving Barry's and BXR and chugging their protein shake. Yeah. And they had this real belief that they had to do it then and there. And then they said, actually, no, you've got 2 hours.
I
want it to be true.
I don't think you're suddenly going to wither away if you don't have protein within half an hour of a workout.
No, it's
if not, that would be really worrying.
It does depend on the type of workout, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess if you're really, really intense, you do need to get something in quite quickly.
Before you faint.
Sugars and things like that.
I'm glad we clarified this.
Yeah, thanks.
We have clarified it, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure how, but I think I've just confused everybody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm very confused. What's next then for Waybox? Where would you like to see the company grow and expand to?
So we're really keen on not being just another supplement brand pushing products down people's throats. So we want to create a lot of content around the business, which gives people another reason to sort of visit us on social media. So we've got a podcast, the Waybox podcast, which we host with Tally Rye. So we want to increase those sorts of initiatives. And then obviously just from a commercial aspect, you know, continue to grow the business is always fun, because I'm a founder of the business, and it makes me really proud to see how much we've done in 20 months. So I think for us, if we can grow our distribution in retail, that would be a big bonus. And then obviously the subscription side of things as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
Generally just to enjoy it, really, more than anything.
And are you still enjoying the process?
Yeah, massively. I mean, it's hard work. Like anyone, you know, that started a company will tell you, it's just sometimes it's pretty dark and lonely. But
it's your friends, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I started it with three of my best friends.
And is that better? They say you should never go into business with your friends.
No. For us, it's worked out. Don't know why. We've not really argued yet. No fights or anything.
Are they brothers?
Right. Yeah, good memory. Yes, all three of them are brothers. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I try. Yes, thank you. My job here is done. Well, thank you so much, Ben, from Waybox. Do you ever get people going, Way?
All the time. Like, and I bet you won't be able to not say it now. You'll hear it in the next few hours when you're talking. You'll say,
Way!
I
mean... Sorry, yeah. I love a good pun. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you for having me. I appreciate
it. Thank you in advance for leaving us
lots of
lovely
sachets,
protein. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And we have got some more fitness news coming up. Have you ever heard of a mindful triathlon? Do you want to do one? Well, here's a little more information to explain exactly what it is.
Ever thought about doing a triathlon before deciding it's probably not for you? Well, hold fire. A couch potato-friendly triathlon is coming to Battersea Park in London later this year. Wanderlust 108 is the world's only tri event for yoga and meditation. It kicks off with a 5K run or walk before a DJ-powered 90-minute outdoor yoga class and a 30-minute guided meditation session. Battersea Park will be taken over by 4,000 yogis, downward dogging to their heart's content on the 15th of September. And after the festivities, organisers say you can peruse the cooler markets of local artisans, and as well as dancing with DJs on the main stage, you can try something new, like hooping and acro yoga. So forget the thought of a run, a swim and a cycle. A mindful triathlon looks to be the way forward.
There you go. A little bit there about a mindful triathlon. Would you do a mindful triathlon?
In theory, yes. I would rather do a mindful triathlon than the regular triathlon, mainly because I don't like to swim.
No, I don't like swimming. I don't know if I can even swim properly.
What?
You need
to go and speak to our friend Becky Adlington, because you should have learned a long time ago.
No, I've never actually had a swimming lesson.
Oh, please. I have lots.
Yeah, I've thought about this. I never actually did. I've had water things, like we played in the water at school.
But did you never do, like, I had a whole series. Oh, I'm going to sound like a brat. I had lots of certificates lined up of, like, 500 metres, 1,000 metres. And one was a dolphin, one was a whale. And you got different badges, like in Brownies.
I think
they got sewn onto my swimsuit. Oh. Okay, well,
Our producer has said as well, me too, very 90s.
Yes,
I was 80s. That's why. I was 80s. I'm old. We can all just drown because clearly we can't swim.
Well, okay, so none of us will be doing a regular triathlon. I don't know if anyone remembers. I did sadly miss a show of Pitch Talk because I was in New Zealand for the Ironman triathlon. Now, that triathlon is major long and I really can't get my head around it. But I like the idea of a mindful triathlon. Although, I don't know if I'd get a little bored.
Yeah, you've got a very pained look in your face then. You're like, I think I will rage. Don't make me do it.
No, don't make me do it. I'm not very good at yoga. I am doing yoga tomorrow. If I survive, perhaps I will live to tell the tale and go on a mindful triathlon. If you would like to do one, then why not? It's called Wanderlust. There you go.
It's good to know. It's good. I think I would. But then I want to learn more about meditation and things like that, because I have
Rachel,
a very
no way in hell
busy mind.
You
I might. Look, there's a centre near me and I have been talking about it for the last 2 years that I'll go there.
But interestingly, I think that traditional meditation, I don't know why I'm wagging my pen at you.
No, it's made me listen.
I think traditional meditation has given way to the more modern version of meditation, which is things like running. And you do go for long runs, and I think that's probably your version of meditation.
It sorts my head out, definitely. It's very true. Yeah. Well done, Olivia.
Thanks very much.
Wait there. Oh. I never will get bored of the applause. Never get bored of the applause.
I mean, no one's applauded you yet. But
I'll be 80.
Another bit of really lovely news that really made me feel quite happy and validated my lazy ass is that apparently you really should not bother exercising after a night of boozing. Now, this is basically saying that there is no point in going for a workout if you're hungover.
I do, though, and I actually find I do really good workouts, but I don't know if I'm still drunk.
Apparently, it's just not a good idea because you've got a 75% reduction in the oxidisation of fat, even when you've got just one unit of alcohol in the system. And you've also got 75% less muscle protein synthesis, which means you're not actually going to build any muscle. So if you're going in for gains, or even if you're not going in for gains, there is no point. You're actually going to do reverse point, I think.
Grow an inward muscle.
What I'm going to say, no, you're going to reduce your muscle and your muscle capability. So I will go out there and say, don't work out on a hangover.
That means I'd only work out once a week. I joke. I'm joking.
Does she though?
Yeah, but I do find that I'm quite. I can run further because I can feel less pain because I've just got a massive headache.
Hang on, is that not just because you're still drunk?
Yeah, that's
what
I think.
Which is a completely different thing altogether.
Yeah, it means I'm. Yeah, had a very good night.
Means we're all getting a little bit older.
Yeah, hear your sister.
More in fitness news. A study has shown that people are struggling to meet their daily intake and are actually deficient in protein. Now, this is completely validating what our lovely guest Ben Thoy just said.
I want to do all the time now.
Way box. And apparently, if you weigh 11 stone, it is recommended that you eat about 52.5 grams of protein
a
day.
How much is that? What is that?
Hard to tell.
Chicken breasts, two chicken breasts.
What they generally say is that a fist of protein on your plate for main meal, I believe.
Is what? Sorry, I was giggling.
Oh, Rachel, I've just realised what you're giggling about.
Yeah, of course. It's ever so funny. We're all laughing.
It's not ever so funny.
It is. But what is it like? What is a fist for the protein?
A portion.
And so what's 52 grams of protein?
Well, presumably three portions if you're going to have three meals. So three fists. Producer Abby's pulling the best face I've ever seen her pull in my life. We are going to have to wrap up the show very shortly. Rachel, what have we got coming up over the next few weeks?
Very excited indeed. The World Cup is almost upon us. It's imminent. And so we'll be having a very special World Cup show starting from Tuesday. We've got the game, obviously the England game on Monday night. And we're going to have so many different fun aspects to this as well. It's going to be very FUBA orientated. So it won't be one of your typical kind of predictable World Cup shows. We're going to have a real giggle. And also we've got to do our fantasy... I'm really making a point with this. Fantasy. We got a fantasy football team and then also a fantasy football team that we will be having. We're going to have fun football facts. And we've been listening to, as well, a lot of the football songs, World Cup songs. How good is that?
I'm really enjoying it. I've had a real blast in the past today because as we were playing the one earlier, I suddenly realised Shakira did that one for the Africa, this time for Africa.
Yes, she
Rachel does know what I'm talking about because we played it earlier.
We did, but it wasn't the song that I thought it was. Like, I don't know why. I thought she did another one. But very quickly, actually, I've got here that Russia hopes to stir World Cup crowds. Are we ready with this? With musical spoons.
What? Literally?
Yep. 8 years after South Africans blared away on their plastic... Vuvuzela horns, which were brilliant. They were brilliant. Russians are hoping fans at the tournament, which obviously starts Thursday, will be celebrating by clacking their, now I don't know how to pronounce this, Ioskas spoons that beat out an insistent but quieter rhythm. So yeah, they're wooden spoons.
Interesting.
Me playing the wooden spoons, babe.
The other news regarding Russia and music is Robbie Williams. Have you heard about this?
No.
There's a little bit of a controversy because Robbie, of course, a few years ago released a song, Party Like a Russian, and it's a little bit derogatory. And some people had spoken out and said he will never, ever, ever play in Russia again. And yet he is playing over the World Cup.
Ooh.
When I say playing, I mean singing. He doesn't play.
He doesn't play any Russian.
Robbie does not play. Robbie sings. He is a fine singer and I do like him. And I would love to see him live, actually. On a bit of a sidebar.
And very quickly, we didn't talk about the soccer aid that was at the weekend.
No.
And Bolt. Usain Bolt, who's going to be a football player. He was playing the team. And I think there's aspirations. He really wants to play for Man U. But he's so quick and he's actually quite good.
Not a bad player.
Yeah, he's actually quite good. So, I don't know. It's kind of like wait and see, I suppose. But that's it. We've got about 15 seconds left. Olivia. I've really enjoyed the show today.
Me too. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Max. Thank you, Ben.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, boys,
for listening.
We will see you next Tuesday from 4 p.m. for the World Cup show. We'll see you then.
Bye.
This past hour, you've been listening to Pitch Talk with Rachel Downey and Olivia Cotts. To listen again, simply go to foobarradio.com or our app where this episode and all past episodes are free to stream or download. Send all questions, comments or queries to pitch@foobarradio.com or tweet @foobarradio.